Dean Millard from the Pipeline Show and the Golf Show joins us. Millard, how you doing?
Not bad, fellas. How's it going?
Good. So a lot of people are asking the what-if scenario, which is always fun, because most assume they'll take Ekblad if he's there, and if not, they'll take the big center Draisaitl. So if both of them are gone, who do you think the Oilers would take at number three? Because I don't see them trading down.
Yeah, I think you take Bennett if both of those guys are gone. I don't see a scenario where Draisaitl goes ahead of Bennett, though. I think the Oilers are in the perfect situation right now. They're sitting at third. They're either going to get a big centerman, and it's out of their hands. They take the big centerman, which is probably exactly what they need if they don't get Ekblad, you know, or a team's going to jump ahead of Florida or trade with Florida and take Sam Reinhardt, and Ekblad might fall to them, and that's exactly what they need as well. So I think they're in a perfect situation. They're either going to get the defenseman that's going to fall to them, which is what they would be the perfect situation for them. Or the next best thing, they're going to get a big defenseman who has room to fill out his frame even more, that they can send back to junior, that doesn't have to make their team right away, that they can, you know, let season a little bit and walk out of there happy. So I think I think Craig Mittavish is in a perfect situation. I don't see a situation where Sam Bennett is going to go ahead of Leon Draisaitl. If Draisaitl is gone and if Ekblad is gone, then you take Sam Bennett and you know, you take a guy who some scouts have told me predicts to be a Jonathan Toews-type player, Doug Gilmour-type player, and you hope that's what he turns out to be, which is, you know, a pretty tenacious player and a guy that you hope that you can fit into your lineup.
Yeah, Dean, I don't see any chance of Ekblad and Draisaitl, you know, this scenario we're talking about. With Reinhardt, though, who would be the favorite to maybe upset this and make it at least a possibility if they moved up? Would it be the Canucks? Are they the team that likes Reinhardt most or the best fit? What do you see that way? Because I don't think if the order stays the same, this scenario can possibly unfold.
Yeah, I think from everything I've heard and from people I've talked to, the Vancouver Canucks are the biggest suitors of Sam Reinhardt right now. I'm not sure the Winnipeg Jets trading up to number one and taking Aaron Ekblad doesn't make a lot of sense to me right now. I watch a ton of Winnipeg Jets hockey and they don't really need Aaron Ekblad right now. They have a stud in Jacob Trouba. They have a pretty good blue line. They're looking for a forward help, I think, and I would think they would be looking at one of Sam Reinhardt or Sam Bennett as well. But for sure, the Vancouver Canucks, if they want to make a splash, I don't know. The Philadelphia Flyers always want to make a splash, but I don't see them making that big of a splash moving up to number one unless Aaron Ekblad really, really likes them. But I think Sam Reinhardt is the guy that teams are going to trade up for. But he doesn't suit the Edmonton Oilers for me because he seems just that you already have him in Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Yep.
And a real cerebral, smart player. So what's the point of having two guys that play the exact same style on your team? And, we talk all the time that the Oilers have enough of the same players.
Very much so on that one. What's your thought on Reinhardt and Draisaitl and Bennett? Who do you think in 5 years is the better NHL center?
Between Sam Reinhardt, Sam Bennett, and Draisaitl, who's the better center?
In five years,
I think probably Sam Reinhardt will ultimately be the better one. I think he'll probably be the guy that you look to and see is probably the most creative. I think the most effective with his teammates might be Leon Draisaitl. I think there's players in this draft that I look at that we might look in 5 or 6 years and say, like a Jake Virtanen, and say, wow, this guy is just a dominant power forward, like a Ryan Getzlaff type of player kind of thing. And we might just look at it and say, it wasn't that bad a draft after all. I'm not sure. All of these players that I look at and think of, they all have consistency issues, and that's what makes this draft suspect, is because a lot of the great players in this draft have consistency issues. Draisaitl, with his frame and the way he dishes out the puck in the Western Conference, could be very, very good, especially if the Edmonton Oilers pick him and the Edmonton Oilers continue to develop, and with the young players, if he can fit in. I think he could be one of the more effective players, but the best pure player, I think, is Sam Reinhart as far as in the next 5 years, as far as skill goes, yeah.
That's interesting. You see, Dean, I would go with Draisaitl because, to me, it's remarkable that he's put himself in the conversation with Reinhart and Bennett and Ekblad, different position, obviously, at the top of this draft. Given the relatively short time he's been in North America playing against the top competition, we know the ridiculous numbers he put up back home, and that's good for him. They all count, but to come over here, you know, I think of the Europeans who came over here that have Oiler connections. You know, Alex Hemsky came and played in Hull, that sort of thing. But Draisaitl, I think he's going to get a head start because of his size. I think he'll be able to handle the physicality. I worry about a guy like Bennett who might get used up because he's fearless and tries to play a big man's game with edge, and he's not a big man. He's not a shrimp, but he's not a big man. So interesting perspectives. For me, it's Draisaitl.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing I had somebody say to the other day about Sam Bennett, and it's the first time I've heard it yet so far, but it was the recklessness that he plays with, and it was the comparison to how Taylor Hall played in this draft year, in that Sam Bennett plays the way Taylor Hall did, and there was the concern that Sam Bennett, the same concerns that I had when Taylor Hall had what was coming up, and the same reason I thought Tyler Seguin was a safer pick back then, because Taylor Hall was so reckless when he played that I thought he wasn't going to last 5 years in the NHL. Well, he's proving me wrong, because it's that recklessness that he played with that's turned into fearlessness that's made him so effective. But that's somebody mentioned that the other day with Sam Bennett, that he plays that way, that he'll go and challenge Darnell Nurse. Darnell Nurse will come back at him, and he'll go back at Darnell Nurse, and he's not afraid, and he won't back down. And he plays with that Doug Gilmore killer instinct, if you will, that made Doug Gilmore so effective. And you know, but it's interesting to hear you say that as well, Robin, because that's the first time second time now that I've heard that, and there is concerns that maybe Sam Bennett is playing a little bit too reckless in his game, that he's not the biggest guy, and Taylor Hall wasn't the biggest guy as well. But Taylor Hall's proven a lot of people wrong in that regard.
Dean Millard joins us. Dino, you know, Nikushkin fell down lower than some people thought he would go. At, you know, Sean Couturier a few years ago fell. Seth Jones didn't fall that far, but he fell to number four, which no one expected. It's going to happen every year, especially this year. We see teams, you know, ranking guys so much different. Who do you think falls, and who do you think climbs up based on what a lot of the rankings say? And I don't believe that the rankings are right necessarily, that they know more than NHL teams. That's just what they do. Great. So who do you think drops, and who do you think who is the surprise guy moving up?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Jake Virtanen is a guy that might drop a little bit. I know he's got all kinds of wheels, and he's got a terrific shot out of the Calgary Flames, or Calgary Hitmen, rather. But he was invisible in the playoffs, and I know he was injured a little bit, but he can be invisible at times, and he can be excellent. So I have a feeling that that's a guy that might be a little bit of a dropper a little bit. And Nicholas Ritchie is a guy, he's just an absolute beast. He's 6'2 and a quarter, 226 pounds. You know, I've seen different rankings where he's anywhere from 10 to five, depending on where you look. But he's a guy who might go a little bit earlier than people expect. Some people think he might be NHL ready, but I've also talked to other people that say, yeah, he's in his physical size, he's ready, but he's not actually ready to play in the NHL, not strong enough. So that's a guy who might. And the other guy who might go earlier than expected is Hayden Fleury out of the Red Deer Rebels, simply because of his position. He's a defenseman. He's the next best defenseman to go after Aaron Ekblad, but he's ranked around the 12-13 rank. So you have to expect, if a team is really hungry for a defenseman and they're drafting around 6-7 and don't want to trade back, they might just take him early because he's the next best defenseman. So those are some names to watch for if you're looking for guys to jump up maybe.
Yeah, that's interesting, Dean. And you know as well as I do The trick is trying to figure out how a guy's strongest attributes project to the National Hockey League. I'll go back to a former Oiler and a guy who's had a good career, but he was a first rounder. Ben Eager, the Oilers were taking a look at him, but they were picking just a little bit too high. You know, you got take a guy like Richie. There's a lot of guys, you look at their size, you go, wow. But you got to remember, they're playing against some 16 and 17-year-olds in the league. That physicality that you know they impose on other players, sometimes it's a sheer matter of size. You try and lean on an NHL defenseman, he'll go, hey, kid, is that all you got? So with the physical guys, it can get tricky, can't it?
Oh, for sure, yeah, no doubt. And yeah, exactly. When you're talking about leaning on a 16-year-old kid compared to a 26-year-old defenseman, especially even in training camp, you can certainly notice the difference. Another guy I'd watch for is Travis Sanheim. He's a defenseman with the Calgary Hitmen. He's from Manitoba. He was playing midget hockey a year and a half ago, and his, you know, he's been probably the fastest riser in the NHL draft and in as far as rankings. But this is a kid that went from small town Manitoba to big city Calgary, and he's on the rise as well. And a lot of people really, really high on him. Played for Canada at the U18 World Championships, and I would expect him to go a little bit higher than where he's ranked. You know, some people have him ranked 30th, and I'd expect him to go mid-first round, actually.
Jake Virtanen, it's interesting. I've seen him ranked in the top 10. I've seen some guys have him in the bottom third of the first round. Why so varying opinions on Virtanen?
Yeah, Craig Button had him ranked 43rd. So, I don't get that one. He had him, almost out of the second round. And that's absurd to me. But yeah, I don't know. It's consistency with him. He's one of the best skaters in the draft. He's got an awesome shot. He scored a pile of goals. He can be aggressive. He can fight at times. Although one of the biggest problems he had was he fought in one of the last games of the season this year and hurt his shoulder and then was injured and largely ineffective during the playoffs. So, maybe decision-making is one of the problems he had. Came into the league as the first overall pick, and I know Guy Flaming was talking the other day about how maybe he had some ego issues a little bit and, you know, had to maybe have some humbling times a little bit on a good Calgary team. But the guy, is when he's on his game, is a pure power forward stud. But when he's off his game, he can be invisible. So, do you want to take a chance on a guy who is inconsistent? That's the question GMs are going to be asking their scouts at the draft table is, can this guy be consistent for us, or is this guy going to be taking, you know, 15 to 20 nights off a year? And do we want to take a chance on a top 10 pick on this guy? You know, that's the question that they'll be asking. And that's if you're a head scout, do you want to stake your reputation on a guy who takes nights off? And that's the unfortunate knock on Jake Virtanen, as he took too many nights off during the year, and that's why you see him ranked in different spots when you look at different rankings.
Dean, we always like to try and find gems or dark horses later on, as if finding an actual real player isn't hard enough even in the top 10. But talk a little bit, and his name escapes me right now, that Finnish puck moving kid, the defenseman, his name starts with a J, I believe. Does he look like somebody that could be a bit of a gem lower on in the first round? I should probably know the name before I ask you, right?
Is it Emil Johansson?
No, he's a Finnish kid. Name starts with a J. I better look him up on my list.
Yeah.
I've been hearing about this puck. A listener tweeted me the other day and asked about this kid, and I looked him up. And I think he's projected to go in the first round, but his name escapes me now. So I'll look it up and maybe touch on that later on.
Okay.
Dino, golf show tonight, and then you guys are on Friday for the draft at 6.
You betcha. Looking forward to it. We'll join you and Struds for the first hour and give our feedback on what the Oilers are going to do. Hopefully, wouldn't it the greatest scenario for the Oilers is that somebody jumps up and takes Reinhardt and Ekblad falls to them at three. Don't you agree?
Yeah, so
would you take Dreisaitl?
If Ekblad was there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really hard one. I'd honestly contemplate it. I don't see how else you can. The Oilers have a lot of good potential defensemen. They don't have any big skilled forwards. And I don't see any. They don't have a second pick. They don't have a third pick. They're not getting one anytime soon, right? So that's a tough one. If Ekblad and Drysdale are there, I think it makes for a really good conversation. If he's not, to me, I think it's a very easy pick for the Oilers at number three. If Ekblad's gone.
If Drysdale's there and Ekblad's gone, it's an easy pick, and they don't make a mistake. If Ekblad's there, like we had Ross McLean from ISS Head Scout on 2 hours last night, and the big comparison he made was with the shot. It's a Shea Weber type shot. It's a cannon from the point. Shea Weber, the highest number of goals he had in junior was 12. Ekblad had 23. And I'm not saying that to expect Ekblad to come in and be Shea Weber, but just the comparison of the big blast from the point on the power play is something that you can't overlook.
It's very true. That's why I don't think Florida overlooks them.
I think the
talk about moving down from number one, I know they've done it twice before and they lost both times, so I think they might be smarter this time.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Good point.
All right, Dino, we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.